Glory to God. Amen. I believe that God knows where some of you are. And I believe he's making his way into your life, that he's going to intercede. He's going to move for you. He's going to work on your behalf. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Why don't we just one more time just raise our hands and thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Lord, have your way, God. Have your way, God. Work among us, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. I'm so appreciative of what God is doing and what he will do for us. Amen. If you want to go ahead and turn your Bibles to Acts in chapter 4. Amen. I appreciate what the Lord's doing here. And I felt like the Lord's dealt with me in a little bit different direction what we've been feeling. And I hope that, I hate to say it this way, but I really hope that I've really got a hold of what he wants. But I feel like somebody here needs to hear what I have to say. And if one person is here that needs to hear it, then it's worth it. Amen. But I want to start there at the very last two verses of Acts chapter 4. Verse 36 there in chapter 4 of Acts. And it says, Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Then right there at verse 5, I'm going to make my main part there. It says, but a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart, that thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God? And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And that's all my text there. And I simply want to talk to us for a little bit tonight on an unsatisfactory surrender. And the Lord was dealing with my heart, and I really feel like today we live in a generation, and I forget who I was talking to about it, but I was talking to someone not long ago, and I simply said something to the extent of, this is a generation of what can I get rather than what can I do. You know, and it's so true. We look around, and you know, you could look at posters from when World War II was going on and all these wars, and they were needing help. They were needing people to do drives for rubber, for tires, everything to metal, to aluminum. All these things are wanting people to do their part, and people desired to do their part. There was a sign, and everybody's seen it, but it was Uncle Sam, and he had his finger pointing. He said, "We want you." You know, it wanted people to stir something inside of them, that they could desire to do something, that they could become something, that they could do a work that would be greater than themselves. But in this generation, my generation especially, has become a point where we want something. We desire it to be handed to us. We desire the welfare that can be handed to us. We desire the handouts from others. It's so true, and I hate it, and I've tried to keep it out of my own self, but it's everywhere around us. If you look, there's people that they're desiring, what can I receive and what can I have? And I'm going to talk about the unsatisfactory surrender. Amen. We see a very familiar story here of a man and his wife, Ananias and Sapphira. And there's people around them that have sacrificially given. People that, Barnabas here, it talks of him. And he sold it. He sold his land. He sold his possessions and gave it to the church because he believed in what was happening. And he wanted to contribute to it. He wanted to help it to grow. You know, and they see these people around. They see Barnabas, and he gave all that he had. And they see how much notoriety, how well he was, how people thought, man, Barnabas has really got a hold of something. Look at what he did. Look at what he gave. Man, that's just awesome. And, you know, they probably saw how other people looked at Barnabas for what he did, and they desired it for themselves. You know, and they decided that they wanted this, but they didn't really want this. They came to the point that Angela laughed at me when she read this in my notes, but said that they wanted to have their cake and they wanted to eat it too. You know, they wanted both things. They wanted to have their way, and other people think they're something really big. You know, that's something that we criticize the foolishness of these two and talk about how crazy they were to try and lie to the Holy Ghost and to God. But even though we think they're so crazy, what has God entrusted to us? And yes, we hold it back. I want to just point out a few of these things today. First thing, one thing I see in the scripture here is the costly possession that they had. You know, it was land, and I mean, I don't know how big it was. It could have been a big palatial estate like some people have. I don't know any of you that haven't. If you do, you need to send me some money sometime. See, I'm handing wax for one of those handouts. But, you know, it could have been some great tract of land or something like that. Or it could have been a little apartment like my own, with a bedroom, a living room, a kitchen, and a bedroom, and you know, and they could have had something small. But whatever it was, it doesn't say what they had, how big it was, how great it was. But it says that they sold it, and then it goes on. It says that they gave a certain part. It goes on that they said that they sold a certain part of it. You know, that's something that I looked at is this possession, no matter how costly it really was, or no matter how expensive it was, this possession became something very costly to them very quick in their lives. You know, the Bible states that this was land that they possessed. You know, this was their land. You know, if I go to Brother Guy and I ask him for his shoe and he don't give it to me, he ain't done me nothing wrong because it's his shoe and I don't have no reason to ask for it anyways. And if I go to you and I ask you for 20 bucks and you don't give it to me, I can't get mad at you because it's your 20 bucks and it's yours to do with as you please. And you know, and there's nothing wrong in them giving to the kingdom of God. That was a notable thing that really in a way that they even desired to do it. But what was wrong is that they held back that part. And so what we got into here is that this was their possession. And why did God even care if he gave it to him or if they kept it? Why would God even care if he gave them a certain part they were still giving, wasn't they? And this is a very different sermon for me, and I'm trying to adjust myself into this. But the Lord really laid this on my heart that, you know, what is our costly possession that we have? I'm not asking anybody to leave here and call a realtor to sell your house so you can give it to pay for some kids that are wanting to come to school from the bus. I'm not asking you that you might go home and sell your car so that you can send money to a missionary. But I'm asking you, what is it that you could have, that you could give to God, that you could draw closer to him? You know, I'm not going to ask for money, but what about this? What about Brother Nathan, this is my ability, and I have the right to do with it as I please. This is, I'm not required to use what I have for the kingdom of God. This is my life. This is my life that I can use to live however I want. This is my life that I can do as I please. And I love God, and I want to come to church. But who is God to tell me that I need to give it all to him? We might not really quite say that. We would really feel like we were sinners if we said it that way. But sometimes we'll say, well, I'm not comfortable giving my life in that way. I don't feel like that is my cross to bear. I don't feel like that is my thing to do for God. We all get so worried about what my thing is to do. You've asked me and you might say, well, Nathan, I want you to pick out clothes for me. I'd tell you that's not my thing. It's not. It's not my thing to go pick out someone's clothes. You can ask me to pick out your truck. That's my thing. I like that. That's not my thing. It's not what conforms to what I desire. You know, and so often we get so tied up in what is my thing and what is what I do and what works to what I desire. And we so often forget that this possession, which is just very simply life, which is very simply just life in itself and what we can do with it, we forget that it does not belong to us, but it is God's. Amen. There's this costly possession that they had, but there's also this certain part that they held back. You know, this is, it says that they laid a certain part at the apostles' feet. You know, now I don't know, like I said already, I don't really know much about Ananias and Sapphira, but they weren't dumb, is my guess. I'm assuming these people were not ignorant. And so when they gave, they probably didn't give 30 bucks and say, yeah, we sold our land, this is all we had. It wasn't much. You know, they probably didn't lay some measly amount down and give it, you know, and say, yes, this is it. But they probably gave enough that people all right thought, wow, look what they did. Look what they've given to God. Look what they've laid down for Him. And you know, so many of us in our lives, I could look at you, and really in my eyes, I look at what you do in this church and how good, how much of an asset you may be to the pastor and to the children, to the ministry here in this church. And I might say, wow, look at what they're doing for God. Wow, look at what they're doing for the ministry. Look how willing they are to give all. But you know, down in your heart, no matter what the people of this church, no matter what the people around you think, wow, look what they're doing. There's a certain part inside of you that you've been holding back, saying, God, I'll do this and I'll do that, but this is mine. Oh, I ask that each one of us would be willing to give all tonight. You know, it never says that they gave less than half or only a little bit, but I believe they gave as much as they felt comfortable doing. And you know, it's the same amount, same thing in our lives. We're willing to do things for God, and we don't really want to shortchange Him, but we're willing to give as much as will not make us uncomfortable. God, I'll do things for you. I'll work for you. But Lord, I can't be there on Saturday night. Lord, I'll do there. I'll do your work. I'll do your will. But Lord, I can't give that much. That would cut into the cable bill. That would cut into my internet bill. That would cut into what I like to do for myself. You know, we like to do these things, and I'm not preaching against anything at all, but I'm saying we got to be willing to give our all. We got to be willing to lay everything down for Jesus and say, Lord, I'm not just giving what is comfortable for me. I'm not giving just what makes me feel okay with where I am, but I'm going to lay my all down for you. I keep ending up with money, and I promise that's not what I'm trying to get at. But if you want to give it, go ahead. We feel so good with ourselves for what we give. We feel so satisfied with what we do. And that's great. I pray that every one of us would do enough that we would feel satisfied with what we did. But we need to give to the point, you know, that we would truly feel the pain of it. We truly feel the hurt of it. I was talking to Brother Lloyd at camp meeting, and I was taking up the little offering there in the lunch line. And he was teasing with me, and he said, well, I'll give my two mites. And I, you know, and talking about the widow there, and I said, well, most people's two mites are I might or I might not give. You know, and so often in our lives, that's what it is, you know. Lord, I might work, I might give of myself to you, but I might not give enough. I might not give everything that you're desiring. You know, I pray that each one of us would get a burden in our hearts that we wouldn't simply give to be giving. We wouldn't simply work in the church to be working, but we would say, God, I'm committing all to you. God, I'm not just giving you certain part, but I'm giving you everything that I have and everything that I can. Amen. Well, you know, we are content in what we have given, and yet all this time we make excuse for why we don't need to give this certain thing. You know, I've seen some people in their lives, they've given everything but the one thing they need to give. You know, they do everything. They're willing to, you know, I've met sinners that they're willing to give money to the church. They're willing to help the church. They're willing to give things away, but they won't give their life to it. I've met Christians that they'd love to give their life to it, but they won't give their money to it for nothing. I've met all these things to it that, you know, they're willing to do whatever it takes except for that one thing. Hey, man, I promise you, I will get off money. But what are we keeping back, church? You know, that was my prayer tonight. And, you know, I was asking the Lord, even through service tonight, Lord, what is there left in me? You know, we so often get to a place where we have our little checklist. You know, we got this conviction, check. We read our Bible every day, check. We pray, check. You know, we go down our checklist, and then we look at that checklist, and we feel, well, I've pretty much filled out everything there is. Oh, but if we would just get at an altar and say, God, I know there's something more. I know there is still more that I can give. I know there is still more that I can do for you. Oh, we get so caught up in, God, what more is there for me to get? What more can I receive from you? But, oh, I want my prayer to be, Lord, what more can I give? What more can I do that I might have given you all? And man, they're in Mark. I believe it's chapter 4, but I don't want to get caught up because I'll probably mess it up. Actually, it's chapter 6. And he says, not everyone that comes into my kingdom will say, Lord, Lord, but him that is about my Father's work. You know, I believe that we just, you know, we go through life, and I'm including myself as well, because I so often find myself in this exact same position where I say, yes, I've been doing things for you, and Lord, I'm pretty pleased with where I am, and I'm working for you, but at the same time, am I truly about my Father's work? Am I about what my God would ask me to do if he were to speak to me each day? Am I doing what he would be telling me to do? Am I giving what he would be telling me to give in my life, that I would be committing myself totally to him? Amen. My last point here is that I want to look at the catastrophic price they paid. Amen. You know, we've seen this story unfold before us, and we see now that Ananias has died at the feet of the apostle, killed by God. Amen. And you know, and we see this man that was killed by God, and it kind of scares you. I remember as a little boy hearing this story, I'm like, I ain't gonna tell a lie. Promise, Lord, never gonna lie again, especially in church. My dad was a preacher. If I died at the apostles' feet, it's probably because he whipped me. You know, and it was, you know, and I was, you know, as a child, and it really does grip you. I mean, I remember as a little boy that I thought about it. I'm like, you know, God will kill you if you don't do what's right. You know, and I can't really think of very many people that God's killed lately because they didn't give enough in the offering, or they didn't go on bus route enough times. But, you know, God is still desiring that we would give all, that we would still lay down everything that we have, because it is still his work. It is still much as much a part of him as it ever was. He's still desiring us to do something for him, and I desire that we could do more for God. You know, we have this catastrophic price that he paid, and he may have died at the feet of the apostle. And I'm not telling you that you're going to die and you're going to fall out because you didn't do what God wanted you to. But I'm going to let you know that you'll never be able to get to where you should have been spiritually. I want to tell you that child you prayed for that would get saved may never really get there until you give all to God. I'm going to let you know that what you've been praying for and what you've been asking God for may never happen until you give him all. Amen. I left a question unanswered at the beginning of this sermon. And if it was theirs, then what was wrong in keeping some? You know, I know that the Bible says, and I don't contradict what the Bible says at all. I believe it was because they lied. But I believe something that was very big in what they did is that by holding back, they were putting a price on what was being done at that time. You know, at this point, they were content with what they had given. That's where they were really going wrong, is that they were content with what they were giving to God. I'm not saying it wasn't because they lied, and I believe it was because the Bible said so. But I believe that if they would have not been, if the reason they gave what they gave, that would be a better way to say it, is because they were content with what was happening. You know, this is in the middle of Acts. If you read either before or after this, you read about the great moves of God that was going on. I believe it was one verse past where I read, a verse after Sapphira died. You read that everyone they were laying hands on was being healed. They would touch them and they were being made whole. And you know, you see this great work of God that was being done. But in the middle of this, you see people that love was happening, but they don't love it enough to be willing to give all to God. You know, I believe we're in the middle of a move of God in this church. I believe we're seeing souls saved. I believe people are getting help and people are receiving from God. But some of us today, even myself, we get to a point, we say, Lord, that's great, and I'm going to give more for it, but I'm still not going to give all. It's not worth giving everything for. It's not worth laying all down for. So God, here's what I feel comfortable giving. Oh, I don't want to be one that just gives what I want to, but I want to give all. Oh, God, I pray that, you know, we could get to a place in our life that in giving everything, we would realize that it's not just giving because the preacher says so or the Bible says so, but it's because we want to show God what He is doing means that much to us. Amen. I feel like it's not only in giving and ministry, but I believe it's in willingness to give in our lives. You know, I really, a lot of times, and it's a fault of mine in a way, but I sometimes focus on ministry in a sermon because it's something I love. I really want and I care about ministry. And I know many of you do as well. And, you know, it's something I focus on, but I felt here in this sermon that the Lord was dealing with me that it's not just the ministry sometimes that we struggle giving in, but it's ourselves. It's our time. You know, and I'll be the first to raise my hand up and say that I'm lack sometimes in my daily devotion to God, that I falter and I fail in giving as much to Him as I should each and every day. Amen. And my wife knows me better than anybody in here. She could tell you every one of the faults I have and probably some that I don't have and probably will end up having, but I could tell you that I'm the first one that I find myself falling, even in my life, my daily walk with Him. I have these failures and these trials, but you know what? Because I go through them, because I face these things, I know that you here as well, also daily, each and every day, you find those things that, Lord, if I could just completely dedicate this to you, if I could totally allow you to have your will in this situation or with my relationship to this person, that I'd allow you to have your will done there, that I believe it could be a little bit better. Amen. I believe that there's more that we can give. Amen. I see, this may sound different, but I ask that we could possibly feel like this was what happened. The only reason I totally read that wrong. I don't even know what I was saying there. This that you may ask how it can possibly happen like this. But what if God did strike us dead every time that we were shortchanging Him? What if God did have something happen on us, maybe not even strike us dead, but every time that we shortchanged Him and what He was doing in our lives, that there was something that would affect us? Amen. And we don't see it, and I believe that we serve a loving God and a gracious God. He's not waiting over us with a hammer to pound us the moment we do something wrong. But I believe we serve a God that is just. And He will give us our just reward for what we do. And oh, I want to give all that I can to God, church. I want to be willing to dedicate my all to Him. I want to be willing to say, Lord, if it's going to bring one more soul in for You, then I want to do it. Lord, if it's going to draw me nearer to the cross, then I want to do it. You know, Paul, he wrote that, I crucify my flesh daily. That's what I'm talking about, church. I'm talking about that each and every day. We could look at ourselves and we could say, that's not who Jesus wants me to be. And we could crucify that flesh. We could crucify that self that we are just with the desire to come up closer to Him. Amen. God spoke to Moses and He said, what do you have in your hand? I believe that's the Nathan's version. I can't remember exactly how He said it. But He said, what is that in your hand? And it was a rod. Moses, it's a rod. And Moses knew what a rod was. He was a shepherd. He'd seen it. He'd carried it around probably for 40 years. It's probably his favorite one. Had his handprint in the same place from carrying it so long. And Moses had that rod in his hand. And God said, throw it down. Throw it down. You know, Moses at this point is in this place that he could have said, this is my rod, God. Why would I don't want to throw it down. I might mess it up. I might break it. It might roll into the fire and burn up. Lord, this is my rod. I'll do with it as I please. But God, he may have said, God, this isn't the only rod. I mean, I know I have a friend that helps me with shepherding, and he's got a better rod than I do. It's a better rod than mine. It's a better wood. And you know, and he could have went on and talked, and he could have told God, sorry, I can't do it. My rod isn't good enough to be thrown down for you, God. But you know what? I believe that God wanted what Moses had to offer Him. He didn't want what so-and-so had to offer. He didn't want what anybody else had to give, but he had what Moses had to offer him. You know, and Moses didn't have much. It's just a stick. We might have had a crook in it at the end or something, but it was still just a stick, and he was willing to give it for God. He was willing to say, Lord, okay, here it is. I'll throw it down, and immediately God used it. You're here, and you're in church tonight, and you've been saying, God, what I have isn't good enough to give for you. What I'm able to offer isn't quite good enough to give all for you, Lord. I feel foolish to even give what I have. It's really nothing in the big scheme of things. I know so-and-so that's a better this or that, a better Sunday school teacher or preacher or missionary or anything else. God, why should I give what I have when there's others that can do it even better? But I want to let you know, church, that if you're willing to throw down what you have in your hand, what you've got in your possession, God will bless you and he will use you for what you give to him. Amen. I preached a sermon when I was at OBI. It was similar to this one. In fact, it was the same one. but I had a different text to it. There you go. You can laugh at me for saying it, but others do it and don't tell you. But you know, in a sermon I had, I entitled this "The Loss of Laying It Down in Light of Eternity." And, you know, and that sounds different, but our whole theme in outreach was in light of eternity. And he'd talk about winning souls in light of eternity. And he'd talk about, you know, praying in light of eternity. And how important is it and how vital it really is when you look at the whole of eternity and what might happen. You know, and that's what really got to me when I was reading this sermon. I was trying to study for tonight. As the Lord really dealt with my heart, is what is our loss with what we give in light of eternity? What is our loss in committing ourselves more to God and laying everything down for him in light of eternity? In light of this, we've sang about it tonight, heaven, how wonderful it's going to be with our Savior and that he's coming. What is my feelings? What is my insecurity? There we go. I found it. What is my insecurity in light of somebody being saved? What is it to me if somebody else finds you, Lord? If it affects eternity, what loss is it to us? Mom, if you come to the piano. Amen. If y'all stand. I know this has been different. I'm sorry. I know I've struggled tonight, but I feel like nevertheless that God is desiring us to be willing to give all to him tonight. The Lord dealt with my heart. He was, and right there, right before I preached, the Lord just really affirmed to me that God was really wanting to say something to somebody, that you are given, you're given. You're not scared to give to God, but there's still that one thing. Oh, and let me go here to these young people. Maybe it's music. Maybe it's time. Maybe you don't have a prayer life yet. Maybe you're not taking the time to develop one. Maybe it's a devotional life, getting alone with God. Parents, maybe it's you really making that step to truly be the godly parent that God desires you to be. Maybe it's to make some steps to get your house in order. Or to God, maybe it's in your own life to straighten you out with some things that you need. Or maybe it's in ministry. Maybe God's been dealing with you. That there's a work that he has for you and you're not willing to give it. I pray that we'd all be willing tonight to give to God. That's my desire. You know, I told you that Moses, he had that rod in his hand and he was willing to give it. He threw it down and he was willing to give the physical assets he had to God. But God told him that he wanted him to speak for him. He said, I can't do that. I'm slow in my speech. I'm not able to because I'm just not qualified for the job, God. But you know, God made a way. He gave him Aaron. He gave him someone that would speak for him. You know, when you're here tonight and God's been dealing with you about the same thing over and over and over, and you've gave that certain part and you're dedicated in giving that certain part, but when it comes down to it, you say, God, I can't do that because of this. I want to let you know that if you're that worried about it, I believe that God will provide a way that even if you can't give it like you desire, that God can still use you in that way. God didn't say, well, you're slow in your speech. Sorry, I can't use you to deliver the children. children of Israel, but he made a way for him to do it. I believe that God has a way. He can make it. He can make not an exception, but he can make something for you. He can make a way for you to be able to do that thing for him. But it's going to take us being willing to give God everything that we have. Amen. I'd ask you that as you're here tonight, you'd be willing to give all to God. I know that there's people here that God's been dealing with, and he's been dealing with me and myself, and I want to make sure that I do all that it takes. Brother Gabriel talked, I want to be perfect. I want to be perfect. I want to be all that he wants me to be. I want to be pure, and I want to be clean. But I want to be, I don't want to go and just be clean when he comes, but I want to have done all for him that I could have done. That I wouldn't say, I wish I would have done more. Amen, church. I'm going to ask that we would all come because none of us are exempt from this. Why don't we come and let's all come. And as we come, let's ask God that he would have his will in our lives. That we wouldn't hold back, but that we would sacrifice to him tonight.